networking is all about relationships. Don't be afraid to network with other agents that are in your community, because if you constantly think that every agent in your city is your competition, then you're not focusing on the relationships, because relationships with agents matters.
I'm your host, Shahid Durrani. Today we have with us Ashley Jankovic, who has been in the real estate business for 6 years, serving the Middle Tennessee and Southern Kentucky areas. She has a passion for helping clients and her community. She co-hosts a podcast called Real Estateable with Tiffany Klusacek, and it focuses on raw, real, and relevant information in the real estate industry. Thank you for coming on our show, Ashley.
Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. It was great to have you. I love the name that you guys put together. It's relatable.
Yeah, relatable real estate. And that's what we focus on our podcast.
So what do you guys talk about on your podcast? Good stuff?
Oh, yeah. I would say it's really good stuff if you are a new or seasoned agent. We talk a lot about how to get clients for cheap or free. Tiffany and I, we don't pay money for leads. So everything, like all of our accomplishments, we've placed in the top 10 for our Berkshire Hathaway home services company, the whole network. So we've been on stage a few times, and always like to point that out just because sometimes agents are looking for an easy button. But sometimes that easy button doesn't continue to generate business. So we talk about the ways that you can hustle for cheap and easy ways to get leads. We talk about hosting client appreciation events. There's just better practices in the real estate world.
Oh, wonderful. So based on that information and your experience, what are the most overlooked but highly effective, as you mentioned, cheap, so budget-friendly tools or strategies that real estate agents could use to streamline their processes?
Real estate is all about relationships, right? So you're not in the business to just help this client and then forget about them forever. And unfortunately, sometimes that does happen. I know when I bought my house, I don't think I ever heard from my agent again. And so when I became an agent, I was like, I'm not going to let that happen to any of my clients. So really, we focus heavily on the relationship, because that's what's going to drive business to you. Word of mouth, they're going to say, oh, wow, Ashley was so great when we bought our house. You should use her too, because we are in a military community. So we have people constantly coming and going all of the time. So we rely heavily on word of mouth and just building those relationships with clients. And even when they move away, if they move to another state, we're able to link them up with another agent there. We vet the agent. So you're not just clicking an agent online and hoping for the best. We do interview agents for our clients and make sure that they get sent off to somebody who's going to build those relationships just like we did with them.
And that's a free of cost service that you provide.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
awesome. That's nice.
It doesn't cost anything to have a relationship. You might spend a little money on, hey, let's go out for coffee, or let's go take our kids to this place or something, but still low cost. And it's just building a relationship.
Okay. So what could you recommend to a new agent looking to establish themselves in a market without breaking the bank? You shared relationship is the key component. What could they potentially do to get the ball rolling?
So we have been talking a lot about on our podcast, just getting back to the basics. So again, there is no easy button in real estate. We're going back to the basics and we're doing open houses, right? So we're pushing out all of our marketing, boosting some of our posts to get out into the broader audience. But before our open house, we are door knocking the neighborhood, letting neighbors know, hey, we're going to do an open house at 123 Main Street. Your neighbor's property is for sale. Pick your neighbor, kind of thing. So we're getting in front of these homeowners who might be sellers later on, who are seeing you put in the work and effort in the door knocking, in your presentation of the open house. We also do farming neighborhoods, we do what's called a portfolio review. Pick a neighborhood that meets certain criteria. It has to be a neighborhood where people aren't like buying their house and staying in it for 20 years. We want a neighborhood that's kind of rotationally selling year over year. So we'll send out a market review to everyone in that neighborhood. We have a whole episode on how to do that. But it's basically letting people know how much equity they have in their home, whether they want to sell and move up or sell and move down. Maybe they want to do home equity loan and do some updates. So it's just providing value to anyone that you can get in front of, because nobody wants you to door knock and say, hey, are you looking to sell your home? Instead, hey, I'm at your neighbor's house doing an open house. We have a food truck here. Feel free to come on by, check out the house, and maybe you have a friend or family who wants to move to the neighborhood. So you're still providing value to those people and inviting them to something versus, do you want to buy or sell?
You're adding value instead of asking for something, you're adding value. But that adding value part, does it consume a lot of time to figure out those numbers? I guess everything is online. It's pretty quick for you guys.
Yes. I personally use a site called RPR, and it's for realtors. It's from the National Association of Realtors. And there's just an easy way to print out a small report, because I don't want to give them too much information. Mm-hmm. I want them to reach out to me. Hey, why did you give me this value? Let me do a little bit more research and see if I can find a little more value. Or I've had one person call me and say, please don't take photos of my house. And it was just a Google photo. That's what comes up on those reports. And I was like, oh, I'm so sorry. I didn't take this photo, but I removed them from my list because they don't want to be marketed to. Yeah. That's fine. I'm not going to haggle anyone.
Of course. Yeah, you don't want to do that. That's great. Not everyone might be as understanding, and we want to accommodate. So that's great that you guys do that.
Yes.
When it comes to door knocking, it requires a lot of guts or initial jitters, especially as a new agent. And when they're going through their process, that's what they're actually told from their brokerage as well. Start building relationships, start knocking on doors, start meeting people and see how you can help them. But taking that initial step and then doing it consistently is a mindset thing, and it requires a lot of inner work. What would you recommend, or what would you say to someone that heard your advice but said, oh man, I can't do that? What could you say to them that could help them take that leap and commit to it for 30 days, for example?
Yeah. So everybody's nervous to start, right? Sometimes talking to people and strangers it's scary, right? You don't know who's on the other side of the door. So what I would suggest people do is practice a script, right? It doesn't have to be like word for word, hello, I am Ashley. Make it personal, don't try to be monotone, but there are so many resources out there, like Tom Ferry. He's got some amazing scripts on his website. You could come up with your own scripts and use something like ChatGPT, write out your goal in ChatGPT and have it write a script for you, have it tweak it for you. It's a work in progress on that. But I also think that after the door knocking, after you invite them to your open house, you also need to have a follow-up plan, because it takes 10 touches at least for a client to convert a client. So if you only door knock one time and then they never hear from you again, they're not going to remember your name. So you want to make sure if you do the door knocking and you meet them at your open house, add them to your CRM and add them to your follow-up plan. That might be just emailing them your monthly newsletter. It could be mailing them the market statistics for their personal neighborhood. It could be giving them that portfolio review, letting them know how much equity they have. There are so many ways that you can continue to follow up and build that relationship so that when they are ready, they're going to think of you.
And do you have any recommendations for a tool that could help someone?
So currently our team is using Follow Up Boss. We like that one. I personally use Real Geeks, but our company is going to be providing a similar CRM to KV Core. And so when that comes out, I'll be switching to that because it's free and it's offered through my company. So I like that price.
Yeah, no, definitely. You shared some relationship building, but networking is crucial for real estate professionals, especially. Can you share some creative, budget-friendly ways agents can expand their network?
Yeah. So we host a lot of client events. And so a lot of that is low cost to our team because we ask local businesses to sponsor us. So if you are maybe looking to host a client event or maybe a home inspector that you work with all the time, if you're constantly sending business to someone, they should either be sending you business back or helping with your like advertising of a client event, for example. Mm-hmm. I think that, again, the networking is all about relationships. Don't be afraid to network with other agents that are in your community, because if you constantly think that every agent in your city is your competition, then you're not focusing on the relationships, because relationships with agents matters. Because if you aren't a nice person to an agent and they have a listing, they're going to say, oh, I don't know, this agent, I have had a bad work experience with her, or she's not responsive, or whatever it may be. You always want to keep that professionalism and relationships at the forefront. But I would say if agents are looking to network, if you don't have a local like real estate investing group in your local market, create one. You can host it at like a pub or a brewery or something like that. You can host seminars to get in front of more people. So a first-time buyer class, how to sell your home, how to prep your home for sale, things like that, where people are looking to get educated on something. We personally go to a lot of conferences so that we can network with the broad market of multiple states. So we just came back from our convention and they host networking events and they're so great, but you have to be able to get out of your circle and talk to the other people. I think that's key. I know when Tiffany and I are like together at an event, we always do better when we just separate. We'll just go our own way and talk to the random people, because if we're together, we don't like branch out as much. So it's just getting out of your comfort zone and just talking to people.
Do you recommend agents to partner up like you guys have with another agent to grow their business?
I think that's really personal preference. I got licensed 6 years ago and I had a friend who was on Tennessee's Elite, which is the team that I'm on. And she was like, I think you would love it, all the things. And I, with Tiffany's guidance, I was able to grow my business, learn that it's a relationship based. When I first started, I was like, I'm not telling anyone how I do my stuff. And now I have a whole podcast and I'm like preaching it and speaking at conferences on how to do it, because it's truly not competition. It's the relationships. I think that being on a team has given me ways to grow, because I have more than just my ideas. I have Tiffany, who's been in the business for 15 years, all of her experience. We've got newer agents. We've got like the middle-aged agents. And so it's just the ideas and the collaboration that we do that makes us great. But I also think if you don't want to work on a team or if you don't want a partner, don't be afraid to talk to your like seasoned agents in your office, because 9 times out of 10, they're willing to help you. If you say, hey, if I do a couple showings for you, would you do XYZ for me? Or would you teach me how to do a market analysis? And it's just trading off. If you scratch their back, they'll scratch your back, kind of thing.
Mm. And my late mentor used to say, don't compete, create. It's very similar to that. Yeah, it's very similar to that, that you're out there adding value, doing good to other people. Goodness is going to come back to you from all directions. So it's a great concept. Do you guys also coach agents as well, like one-on-one or group coaching?
We haven't got there yet, but it is something that we are definitely working on implementing. We're just right now creating the systems and the tools that we can help to streamline that. But yes, that is one of our 2024 goals right now. We're just speaking at conferences, having the podcast, and then we help a lot of agents in our office as well. But if anyone wants to connect, they can always email or DM us and we'd be happy to help.
If you had to do this all over again without actually knowing, what specifically would you do different initially, especially when you're starting off?
I think that one opportunity that I didn't get to have with starting on team is just being able to spend time with agents and listen to the way that they speak to clients. when I first started real estate, I had three kids. One, my youngest was 2 and my oldest was 6. So very little. I only had one in kindergarten. And so I didn't have money for a babysitter or daycare, but I wish I could have spent more time in the office, in the car, with client, with other people's clients, and just listen to how the processes go, listen to how they speak, how they answer, how they pivot. That would have been a huge benefit for me. But at that time, I couldn't afford to pay for childcare. So that would be my top tip if you're just starting out and wanting to learn. Yeah, shadowing. Exactly.
Very good. Great advice. That's awesome. So can you share a common mistake or any kind of pitfalls that real estate agents should avoid when trying to cut costs?
Ooh, I think, again, I'm all about the hustle and not really paying for leads. And I think that some agents, when they first start, like, you need to expect to maybe not have a paycheck for 6 months or more. When you're first starting out, you're going to have costs that are associated with realtor dues. We have our Sentry, our lockbox dues, those kinds of insurance. You're going to have all those costs up front. That was something else I didn't know when I started, because I'm like, oh no, I have to pay stuff before I make money. But I would say, don't just turn to buying leads. There's so many ways that you can organically reach people. Don't back yourself into a corner and say, I have to get leads, or Susie Q is buying leads and she's doing great. Leads cost money. And if you don't have money to start, then you have to put in some sweat equity. And so that's those open houses. That's the door knocking. That's getting out in your community. If you want to get in front of people, volunteer. We love to volunteer and help our community. We don't post that much about it. We post more about, hey, here's this food bank, here's this clothing place where people can get clothes, et cetera. Providing information and value to our followers that, hey, oh, I can get involved in the community too, or I didn't know I could volunteer here, or there's a need here. So getting into your community too, that's going to get you in front of people. And you're not going there to talk about real estate, but you might have a real estate shirt on. You might have a shirt that says, like, Ashley Jankovich, realtor, and your phone number. So you're not speaking like, hey, I'm a realtor, do you know anyone who wants to buy or sell? But they're going to see you doing a good thing with your real estate shirt on, and that might turn into something. And it feels good.
Yeah, like, it feels good. I love feeling good. So that's a great recommendation. Yeah. I'm noticing that your recommendations, suggestions are very friendly to new agents. I can see the fact that your audience is appreciating this information, because as a new agent, it can be really scary for people. At the end of the day, it's a business. They're getting into a business, self-employment. And even though they have all the support, it's just having a place that they can go to get this kind of information is important.
Yeah.
Yeah. So negotiation skills is a important component of real estate transactions.
Yeah.
Can you share some tips or techniques that agents can use to negotiate favorable deals for their clients without losing the integrity part? Because I know sometimes negotiation skills can be a gray area for some agents. So not wanting to do it that way, but it ends up that way because they're just trying to close a deal, for example. So can you share some advice on that?
I let every client know that everything's negotiable in real estate. So if someone's, oh, I really like that couch, do you know if they're leaving it? Everything's negotiable. We can ask for that in our offer. I think that sometimes agents think that the only thing that is negotiable is the price. But you can creatively come up with different ways to make deals work that work for everybody. I know I was just working a deal and the other agent was like, we can both just reduce our commission. And I'm like, that's not really that wasn't really the goal for either side of the transaction.
Yeah.
And it didn't benefit anyone really. No. So don't reduce your commission as a first line of defense. I know that it might seem like, oh, it's just my money. But you're in the business to make money, and you're doing, if you're working hard and doing the right things, you deserve every dollar that is promised to you. But I would say think creatively, know what's typical for your market. Like right now in our market, a lot of sellers are still paying buyers closing costs, depending on the house, because there are still multiple offer situations. But I would also suggest to, if you're on the buying side and you're offering on a listing, call that listing agent, build that rapport, because a phone call is different than a text. So I'm going to say, hey, I'm about to send an offer at your listing at 123 Main Street. Is there anything that is really important to your seller that might not be listed on MLS? Can you disclose anything? Are they wanting a certain closing date? Do they need occupancy after? And so building that relationship, again, relationship with that agent is going to help you negotiate better for your client, because you're going to know what that seller is looking for and create your offer around what the seller is looking for and what also works for your buyer.
Oh, definitely. That's great. Unfortunately, when we look at our own price as the go-to to make a deal happen, we're losing respect for our business, and respect for our business is crucial, because you send that message to the people that you're dealing with as well. And you just, people don't take you that serious anymore. You're doing the work. It's use value because of your work. They're making a transaction. It's honorable to pay. No,
yeah,
I definitely agree. Oh, it was great speaking to you, Ashley, today. It was a great conversation. I'm really happy to hear the work that you're doing. It aligns with what I think, and I believe the more good you send out, goodness will come to you. And that's what literally you guys are doing, the law of cause and effect. You guys are sending out goodness, and good things is coming. They're coming to you in different directions. Yeah. So, yeah, I know. I appreciate you, appreciate your time today, and thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
My pleasure.